Jesus has been born. And the story that we're going to enter into this morning from the Gospel of Luke is after his birth, his circumcision, and his dedication in the temple. So here it is. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of the Lord, they brought him to Jerusalem as is stated. Sorry, I messed up here. I got a little messed up by my song here. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is stated in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be offered as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice, as is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, he came into the temple, and as the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, you are now dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. And then Simeon said to them, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age. She lived with her husband for 7 years after they were married, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple. She worshiped there with fasting and prayer, night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. I don't know what your experience is with going to your grandparents' home. Now, for some of you, a lot of you, your grandparents already. But when you were a child, when you went to your grandparents' home, do you have memories of what that experience was like for you? Do you remember the sights and the smells? My sister reminded me recently that my grandmother used to serve canned chicken, and I didn't remember that, but we had a little conversation about that. But I can hear in my grandmother's house the cuckoo clock. And what I remember a little bit of these times as a child, especially my one grandmother's house, because I didn't get to my other grandmother's house very often, but I did get to both of them, is I remember this kind of settledness that came over my spirit. I didn't know how to articulate that at all. Now, if I walked in, I would identify it as kind of a prayerful presence. Do you know the type, perhaps? You go to meet with somebody, and it's something about their energy, their presence, that just draws you to a place of quiet and stillness. It's kind of funny, but as you meet with them, all of a sudden your problems don't seem so significant. And the stuff that really matters seems to wash off of you in spite of yourself. Mary and Joseph have had their child, Jesus, and 8 days after his birth, they go to circumcise him, and on day 40, they bring him to Jerusalem to offer him to the Lord. It's a dedication. Now, I don't know how often Mary and Joseph would have been in the temple. It was a monolithic structure with huge courtyards and a huge amount of activity. It was the center of Jerusalem life and the pinnacle of Jerusalem faith and life. And they were going into this massive marketplace and temple and center of religious Jewish identity to offer their child to the Lord. I'm guessing, as peasants from Nazarene, that they were a little overwhelmed, but you don't know what this is like. Have you been here before? This is not an everyday pilgrimage. And as they walk in there, the temple, to dedicate this child, they're encountered by a man named Simeon. We don't know much about Simeon. He's the grandfather that everyone wants. There's a quiet settledness about him. And Luke identifies him as having the Holy Spirit that rests on him. I think you know the type. They're the kinds of people you walk to for counsel. They're the kinds of people you just want to sit around, because there's something about their presence that draws you outside of yourself. Or is it deeper inside of yourself? To pay attention to what really matters. Now, I want you to think about what happens at this point. They are encountered by this stranger named Simeon. They don't know this man. They just see the gentleness of his countenance, but he is a stranger, and he wants to hold their newborn baby. Do you think Mary wanted to do that? It's not clear from our story. Was Joseph protective of this stranger who wants to pick up this child? It's not clear. Mary and Joseph have come into the temple. Now, there's a couple things that I want to backtrack and just name about them. It says they're making an offering for their purification. Now, there's a couple things about that text that are really important according to the law of Moses. One of them is, it says that the offering, according to Luke's gospel, is a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, if you look in Leviticus 12, where the law is stated around that, that's actually the offering for a person who is poor. If they had money, they would have offered a sheep, according to Leviticus 12. So Mary and Joseph, if you're not confused about it, are poor. But the other thing that the writer of the Gospel of Luke includes is he says it's according to their purification. And actually, it would be for Mary's purification after the birth of the child. You would only use there if, in fact, Joseph helped with the birth. And there they are. They're here to dedicate their child, and they're intercepted by this dear man named Simeon, righteous and devout. And he is looking forward to the consolation of Israel. Now, I want you to think about that statement for just a second. The end of Malachi, the last book of the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the First Covenant, and the New Testament, there is a 400-year absence. From the early 1600s to the present, there has not really been a word from the Lord. The community has been longing, waiting, and hoping. And this righteous man, Simeon, has a revelation from the Lord that he will not die before he meets the Messiah. And on this day, he goes to the temple on a whisper only. He would recognize it as the clarity of the Lord's guidance only in retrospect. This is an act of faith. He can't walk with certainty, because that's never given to us with that much clarity. And he walks in and he sees Mary and Joseph and their baby with uncertainty, peasants in a large courtyard, much hustling and bustling around as they move to the area of the temple where dedication would happen. They're pensive. And he speaks to them, asks for their child, they give it to him, and he holds it, and he says this, "Now I'm ready to die." That's it, Simeon? You're ready now? Isn't there anything else in your life that you want? Simeon, do you have enough RSP money saved up? What was the best day of your life, Simeon? What's the worst? How are you doing today? We don't have any information about this dear saint. All we know is the Spirit rested on him, and one promise of a child held by parents walking into the temple is enough for this dear man of God. He offers a blessing for the child, and then words walk off his lips that are not his own. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. I wonder how often Mary returned to that word. Did she remember Simeon's word when 30 years later she was standing watching as her son suffered in agony on the cross? Because you see, all that Mary and Joseph have right now in terms of words from the Lord is the word from the angel Gabriel, who said, this child will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. And they have a word of promise and fulfillment, but not that word. And you as parents, and we as parents, know that when we have children and we bring them in dedication to the Lord, we do not know what the future brings or what it holds. And we learned that yesterday here again as we walked with unexpected grief. And Simeon speaks a word into the situation that said, this child is destined for great things, but the sword of you as a dear mom and a dad will be pierced as well. Mary and Joseph are still kind of pondering this when they're intercepted by another dear saint of God, a holy grandmother. Her name is Anna. She's the daughter of Phanuel, and all we know about Phanuel is his name means face of God. And Phanuel, perhaps she's caught her parents' deep and resided faith, or she's come to it on her own, and we only have a glimpse of her life. Her husband died 7 years after they were married, and she's been widowed till the age of 84. Actually, the Greek isn't entirely clear. It could actually also mean that she has been a widow for 84 years, which would make her over 100 for sure. Or she's been a widow just to the age of 84, but she has spent almost her life as a single person, widowed, without a husband, trusting, walking in faith. And this dear woman, Anna, daughter of face of God, has spent her childhood or her adulthood doing one thing. Here in the church, fasting and praying, listening, waiting, wondering. She's the same as dear old Simeon. They'd have made a good couple. They're both looking for the redemption of Jerusalem or the consolation of Israel. They're looking for something in this 400-year gap where the Spirit of God does not seem to have been speaking, but they're holy and alert. It's the best that we see of the people of Israel at this point. When Jesus grows up, he does not receive this kind of reception from the folks he has called to share the good news with. They are not holy and alert in the same way this dear couple are, but they're a picture to us of what is possible, of what can happen in holy waiting and in attentiveness. Here's the possibility I invite you into and myself into as we enter into 2017 on the dawn of a new year. What do you think would happen if we adopted the stance of Anna and Simeon, these dear saints of God, and simply started to pay attention to what is happening? What do you think would happen in your life if you focused on the person of Jesus this year? What problems would wash off of you? What perspectives would change? What problems would be different? Would hopefulness arise in you? If you met with Anna and Simeon, what words of counsel and wisdom do you think they would have for you? And more than that, what word do you think the Holy Spirit has for you this year on the dawn of 2017? Last year, a year ago, I asked the Spirit, I said, God, do you have a word for me this year? It's kind of a crazy question, but I ask God a lot of stuff. And this phrase was imprinted across the pages of my heart. It was this: hope lies still. Hope lies still. And I went, hope lies still. That's a good word. I was in a bit of tumult about next steps from here already, thinking job, just a lot of stuff, and it went, hope lies still. Now, I have returned to that word a number of times through the year as a perspective, and I don't always live into the power and the energy and the beauty of that phrase, but it was a word given to me by the Spirit across the pages of my heart exactly a year ago, and I invite you into the possibility of a word. But you're like, oh, Jim, I don't know. I don't think I hear that way, or I don't know, maybe you do. I'm not saying you don't. I don't know. So I've got a possibility for you this morning. In front of me here are stars with 16 different words on them that I have pulled. And I'm going to invite you, while we have a time of music, to come and pick a star. Don't look for which one. Just have it pick you and read what it says. It might be prayer, it might be freedom, it might be perseverance, it might be grace, it might be a lot of different words. But what would happen if you formed yourself around one word this year? There's a possibility for shaping your faith, your direction, your impulses, and your character. I'm going to invite you into the possibility. So what's going to happen is I'm going to pray, we're going to listen to some music, and I'm going to invite you up to come and take this. We won't stare at you, you'll just invite to take this up. And if you're scared to take it right now, because you don't want to, maybe you're a guest and you don't want to come in public, or maybe you don't care, it doesn't matter. You can wait at the end, and if there's any left, you're welcome to take one. And if you don't have one, because I'm wondering, we'll make a couple more for you so that you can have this experience of receiving a word. Let's pray together. God, Simeon and Anna, draw us into what is most holy and essential. You tell us in Colossians 4 to be devoted to prayer, keeping alert with thanksgiving. And these two seniors, holy and alert, draw us into what is essential. They don't answer all our questions, but there's a stilled quietness about their perspective and their spirituality that seems to draw the non-essential away from our hearts and reshape our minds and draw us into a place of stillness and, yes, Jesus, even hope. Thank you. Thank you for what we learned from them. And thank you for the blessing of your words spoken to us. Thank you, Jesus, for these people, these saints, this child, that word, and the Spirit of your guidance upon us. Bless these words that are received this morning and guide them as they shape us as we walk ahead in faith into 2017. In the name of Jesus, we pray.